Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
From the newsroom to the nursery, we're juggling a demanding career on live TV with the demands of motherhood. I'm Katie.
And I'm Karen.
They are Anchor Moms.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Anchor Moms, the podcast. We have a very special guest today.
Very.
She is near and dear to our hearts, and she is near and dear to us here at WLOS because she's actually here in person.
Where are you going? It was so nice to have a guest in the flesh.
Person. Yes.
It's the one, the only.
Dun-da-da-da.
Stephanie Sanastasi.
So Stephanie is on our morning team here. She works with Katie all the time, every day. I'm a little jealous you guys get to work together every day.
Yeah, she's fun. I love working with
Steph. So she does the live desk, and she also fills in anchoring with Katie and or Jay often. So if you live in Western North Carolina, you have seen her face. You know she is pregnant, so she is about to pop. So she is a anchor mom-to-be.
I like it. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But she, of course, got pregnant during COVID and so has had to do a lot of this during pandemic times, which is tough. We had a great conversation with her about becoming a mom during the pandemic and being a soon-to-be anchor mom and just juggling all of the news soon-to-be mom things that come with it.
Okay. So listen in.
And Stephanie's joining us. Thanks so much for being here. You guys, I have to tell everyone that Stephanie and I have a secret connection.
We do.
Well, it's not really secret.
What?
But I mean, it's public.
This is weird.
People can know about it. Now it's going to be public since we're announcing it on the podcast.
Okay.
So before Stephanie even started at WLOS, she had called me because she worked at the station that I had worked out long ago in Chattanooga.
I feel like I remember this story.
Yeah. So we had like a secret little connection there and knew some of the same people. Worked with a lot of the same people.
We did. Yeah.
Over in Chattanooga, which is a sister station of where we are now at WLOS. And so we kind of go way back.
Yeah, we do. I remember when I applied for the job, I was talking to one of my managers there, and she's like, hey, here's someone's number. Talk to her. See what's up. Yeah. Called you in.
And here we are.
And 3 years later.
I felt like at the time I was like, this old geezer, like you're like, they're like, call Karen, she's been around a minute, and it's like young Stephanie, like no kids. Were you even married yet? I don't even know if you're married yet.
No, we were engaged, about to be married in a few months. So.
Yeah, you were just like this young reporter, and it's
like a young pup.
Call the grandma of the news station over at WLOS, Karen.
No, it was like, call legend Karen Zakalak. She will have all the answers that you need.
I don't know about that. But anyway, so it has been a pleasure to work with you over the past couple of years, and also to see you get married and now have a baby.
It's very in unison.
How does it feel to almost be an anchor mom?
Gosh, I don't know. I'm nervous. One, the big thing is that I'm nervous, but now I'm getting excited because now it's like, you know, a few weeks left. I'm like, let's just get this thing over with.
Let's just do that. Yeah.
So one of our favorite stories about Stephanie, Katie, tell about when she told us why she decided that she needed to have a baby.
I knew that you guys were going to bring this up.
Oh, wait. When did she know? Do I know it? What?
Remember she told us about why she and Luke were getting a little, bored at home. It was pandemic days.
No.
We talked about this. Like, we had a baby shower here at work, and
we talked about it. I'll tell the story then. Since
tell me. Yeah, sorry.
So, Stephanie said, and I remember you had told me this before, my husband and I. But anyway, so she was saying how it's the pandemic. There's not really a lot going on, right? Everybody's locked in. And she said, we're kind of like, what do you do after work? Like, we don't have any kids. Like, it's a pandemic. So they started discussing whether they should drive for DoorDash.
Oh, and that was the impetus.
And
you're
like,
wait, stop.
Well, I guess we should not be Uber Eats drivers and maybe have a kid. Maybe we should procreate because we got nothing else going on.
This was a very hard decision in your house. I I think you made the right one, but only time will tell, Steph.
I mean, you guys act like we're like professional DoorDash drivers. This was a very limited time in our life. Yeah. This is about 2 months.
Uh-huh.
Luke was the primary driver. Uh-huh. I was the primary.
I love that you're admitting this.
Getting the stuff.
Like, no, I never even went in. I just sat in the car. I gave directions and I controlled the music. And you know what? We just moved into a new house. It paid off some furniture.
Did you make some money?
Oh, yeah.
But, right? Weren't you like doing the DoorDash thing and then you're like, should like have a baby? It's like, what are we gonna be DoorDash for the rest of our lives?
We were like, man, this pandemic is boring and we need something to cheer us up. I'll tell you what enticed me is that my 18-year-old sister at the time, she's like, yeah, I made like $2,000 in like two weeks. And we're like, we're in
DoorDash, here we come.
Right. And I see the reason you had to stay inside the car because you thought it would be weird if people saw their local news reporter like
dropping
off
groceries.
Here's your pizza.
Yeah. So instead you ultimately decided to get pregnant and
right.
are how far along? You're like, what, 36 weeks or something?
Yeah, I mean, like.
Basically there.
You're ready to pop.
4 weeks.
And you're having a baby girl.
Yes. Very excited about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We love girls.
Did you secretly want a girl or want a boy or didn't care?
I mean, if I'm being honest, I wanted a girl.
Yeah.
And Luke wanted a girl too.
Well, you can only be honest about that when you're actually having the sex in which you want.
Right.
Like, you couldn't say, honestly, I really wanted a boy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, and what I did the entire time, I would just tell everyone, yeah, I think it's a boy. I think it's a boy. Because I wanted to convince myself in my head that it was a boy.
Right, so that
I
wouldn't be disappointed. Like reverse psychology.
Yeah.
I totally get that. And I do remember, so Steph works mornings with me. And actually, we anchor next to one another quite frequently. Because you're the fill-in for myself and for my co-anchor. So I would say, like, 2 out of a 5-day week, you're anchoring. But you do what we call the live desk here. So you're sort of in-house and you report on some national important
breaking
stories.
News.
Yeah, breaking news. But I remember when you moved to this shift, people were like, are you sure you want to do this
mornings.
Shift? Yeah. And you were like, this is where all the people with babies go.
End up.
No,
yeah. Yes.
And I literally told our boss that. I said, is it possible? I said, I don't think it's possible for me to have a child and work on a different shift. So look where the moms are. So
put me there. You're actually in the position that I started here in when I had 2 kids at the time and then 3. You're right. Everybody on the morning show has a baby.
And
is
then
that
Lauren
true?
Was in that same position.
Yes.
She got pregnant.
She got pregnant again.
Basically, don't take that position unless you plan on getting pregnant.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It worked for you.
And we're glad you're here because lots of viewers here in Western North Carolina have made several requests that we finally get that Stephanie Sanastasi here on the Anchor Mom. So, listeners, you're welcome.
So this, it's really not Karen Zakalak, the legend. It's Stephanie Sanastasi, the legend.
Right.
Who's like had to come on the podcast because she was so heavily requested.
And we basically begged you. We were like, please, please.
Please come on.
Happy to do it.
And you know, to be honest, you're not really an Anchor Mom yet, but we're letting you slip in.
No, this is my initiation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You feel good about it?
Great.
Okay, good. So we have a couple of questions that we ask all our guests. So let's just get right to it. And you were one of the first guests who actually you just pulled out notes.
Sorry.
I was just gonna say you are one of the few guests so far.
This is supposed to be ad-libs.
Yeah, that have gotten a heads up. So this is also you're welcome. All right. So if you weren't in TV news, Steph, according to your notes, what would you be doing instead?
I was just looking at them as a
reference.
Okay.
It's okay. It's like a script. She needs a script.
There's prompter. Get out the prompter.
Yeah.
So there's 2 things I would probably do.
Okay.
One, I would want
DoorDash.
To be.
Not DoorDash. No.
That's like a close third. The first is I would want to be like a college cheer coach at like a big SEC school or something like that. I cheered in high school and grade school. I never cheered in college, but my mom was a cheer coach for like years.
Yeah.
My sister's a current college cheerleader. And so we
it's
just grew up around cheer and that would be super fun.
So do you think your daughter is going to be a cheerleader? Are you into this? You are.
So
yeah,
I can tell.
I mean, this isn't like a choice. So like, I'll say this without the words that were actually used, but when we told my brother that we were having a girl, my brother's like, not another blank cheerleader in this family. I don't think I can do
it. You were like, yep, yeah,
and
we got one.
Sorry,
yeah, it's happening. Yeah.
Well, and you could like semi have that dream come true because you could be her cheer coach.
Right. So we'll see what happens.
It can happen.
But
okay.
I do have a close second. Hang on. This is also a good my second dream job would be to be a game show host.
What?
Like big like, Family Feud fan.
I know. We talked about this the other day.
Yeah.
Like, good answer. Good answer.
Yeah, exactly.
Good answer, Steph.
So.
I love it. I think you'd be great at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
the one thing I really like about Stephanie. She's a very good laugher. Like, you have a good laugh, and you laugh a lot,
and you
which
have
I love
to,
that.
You have to have a lot of fake laugh to be a game show
host.
You have to, like, be able to laugh at basically whatever.
Because you have to encourage them.
Yeah, and act like they're funny. And just act like
they're
funny.
Well, now we know that if you ever leave news, you've got, like, some great opportunities
right
ahead.
All right. So, that being said, what are you currently obsessed with?
You know, and this kind of goes hand in hand with the first thing I just said. So, I was telling you about this. Oh. We got the Paramount Plus app.
Yes.
And the Paramount Plus app has a variety of shows on it. I originally got it because, A, I've become obsessed with Survivor, so I wanted to watch literally every season.
I love Survivor,
but that's
so
not
I'm
what
on board.
That's not my current obsession. The current one that I'm currently binging is Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders Making the Team.
This is so random.
It's very random.
I have watched a couple of episodes, though, and it does suck you in. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but it's been a while. A couple of years. Yeah. Are there new episodes out?
I don't know. The last season I watched was, it said, it was like from 2018.
Okay.
So I don't know, but yeah.
But you love it.
Drama.
Okay. But you're obsessed. Yes.
I'm like, I can't believe they say some of that stuff. Like, they'll be like, we can't take her because she's fat. I'm like, are you allowed to say this?
Is this real?
Yeah.
I mean, yes. Yeah.
So,
I mean,
obsession,
Has Karen ever told you about what she thinks about cheerleaders?
No, and I'm certainly not going to on this podcast right now.
We've had a conversation about cheerleaders. I kept waiting for you to bring it up.
Was that on the podcast or just not on the podcast?
No, that was definitely on the podcast.
Okay.
I was thinking about this because I know you both.
We don't like cheerleaders?
No, but both. But since I had both answers as cheerleaders, I was like, God, I'm gonna be judged. Cheerleader answers.
No. I mean, I wish I had the coordination to be a cheerleader.
Yes.
I mean, I'll just be real with you.
And I will say, I've come around a lot on cheerleaders.
You have, because I feel
in
like Ingrid
school,
and I came
I was
down
pretty,
hard on you.
I was pretty anti cheerleader in high school. My friends would tell you could
anti.
You know, yeah, I was like. I play real sports, you know, like that type of thing. I've come around a lot, and they're very talented.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think about, like, the gymnastics involved and the flexibility and all of that, like, I have a lot of respect.
Karen's backpedaling.
But I will say this.
I love you.
In addition to cheerleading, I did play sports. I played softball as well. Okay. And I also played, in grade school, soccer, basketball. I was the basketball player that after my game, I'd run into the bathroom, change into my cheer uniform, and then cheer at the guys' game right
after.
You're
like very athletic, is what you're saying.
I mean, not anymore.
No, it's good.
But.
It's good. Well, nobody's athletic when they're 9 months pregnant. Yeah.
You get a pass.
Yeah.
Okay, so one more question. What is the craziest thing that's ever happened to you in TV news, or the craziest thing a viewer has said to you?
Consult your notes.
Okay. The craziest thing that's ever happened to me, and the fact that I'm bringing this up again only probably makes it that much
worse.
Does
it have to do with cheerleading?
People are going to look it up, which I'm pretty sure it's still out there. But you know what? We're going to go ahead and say it for the pod.
Do it.
Okay, so one time in the Chattanooga market, I was filming a stand-up, which is, you know, a pre-recorded segment for my story that day. And it was in the sticks, in a rough area of town.
Okay.
And I was on the side of the road, and I'm getting ready to record, and a dog comes up to me, which is fine. And it's just like a person's dog. Like, it wasn't doing anything.
Right.
And my photographer had treats, was feeding him.
Oh.
But then we were trying to, like, you know, he kept wanting me to pet him. And we were kept trying to get him, like, you know, like, get out of the way, buddy.
Away.
We got to do this. And so my photographer rolled on the whole thing. Because it was funny, because it was like, I was like, 3, 2, 1, and then the dog would just be like looking at me, and we'd be like, okay, like, we have to like redo this again, we can't do it. Anyway, fast forward, this took about 9 takes, it was funny. At one point, I made a joke, and I said, we need to just put that dog in the car and lock it up, or something like that. Like, it was a joke.
Yeah.
But I was like, just get this dog away, we need to shoot this and move on. Well, anyway, the blooper reel, my photographer, like, shared it to a few people, and then our web manager at the time thought it was funny.
Oh.
And so he's like, oh, let's put it on Facebook. Like, this is going to be great. It's going to generate so many comments.
Oh, no.
Well, it generated comments from, like, PETA. And so.
Oh, no.
And, like, and then it went viral, and then I got, like, put on, like, a website where people were like, local reporter hates dogs.
Oh, no.
My gosh.
And
which, you do not hate dogs. You have the sweetest dog right now.
Right. Yeah. And so then my friends back home were, like, replying to those comments with memes, like, we stand with Stephanie, and was, like, a picture of, like, me with, like, my dog. And so anyway,
girl,
like,
this is like pretty epic. I won't lie. This might be the best we've ever. Yeah, yes. This is a good one.
Anyway, if you like, I'm pretty sure it's probably still out there. I hope not. But so every year when that comes up, like in like Facebook memories, my photographer
is like hashtag well, never forget.
Like message me like, here we are back again.
Oh my gosh. Wait, what photographer was it, Blaine?
Brent.
Oh, fun.
And okay, so, yeah, I was.
Wow,
not
famous.
Well, then after I was like,
the web person like, oh, sorry.
No, he liked it because it generated a bunch. Yeah. But
it
like
went viral, so it's like a web person.
Internally,
like,
I'm like, can we delete this? Can we delete this? Like,
they're like, no, all publicity is good publicity.
The funny thing is, like, you literally are a dog person. Like, your dog was like in your wedding, right?
No, he was part of. No,
You didn't know he was the flower girl.
No, I know what you're talking about.
He's in the engagement photos.
Yeah,
he's in something. Okay,
when Luke proposed to me, he was like there, so he was like in a picture. Karen acts like we're like person
that photos.
He was like a groomsman.
Yeah. I just remember the dog being like a prominent part of your like marriage.
Anyway, bottom line is I like dogs. That was a bad part of my life, and here we are reliving it yet again.
Well,
I just so the world knows that was a good one.
Stephanie does love dogs.
She loves dogs. I stand with Steph.
We stand with Steph. All right, Stephanie, talk about this first article.
Yeah, so the first article here, it talks about basically how the pandemic has many women holding back on motherhood. They did a survey of close to 1,200 women that live in New York City that already had children who were basically contemplating having a kid before the pandemic. But once the pandemic hit, they realized, you know, and I know you guys know this, the troubles with daycares that people were having because daycares were closing and just the fact that, you know, parents were having to stay home with their multiple children. So many people essentially were rethinking if they wanted to, their pre-pandemic pregnancy plans on whether or not they wanted to go forward with them or not. So that survey was administered back in 2020, and they just essentially found that, you know, it was causing people higher stress levels. They were also worried about the money aspect of it because a lot of people didn't know what their paycheck was going to look like.
Right.
It's interesting, and I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like a lot of people can relate to that.
So did you, like, so you got pregnant during COVID. Was that, like, a thought for you? I mean, were you like, maybe we should wait till this is over? Or, like, what was your thought process as someone thinking about motherhood during the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we didn't get pregnant in 2020. It was more so at the beginning of this year, but still at
COVID was raging at the beginning of 2021.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. I guess at the time, I mean, those thoughts did go through our head, but it was also like we've already put so much other stuff on hold, like trips and things we wanted to do and all this. It's just like we had to, I don't know.
And there was that DoorDash thing.
Right. Yeah. So that was lingering over our heads.
Karen, did you have any thoughts about you're pregnant as well.
No, but I also think it's different when you already have kids, right? Like I'd already been through the pregnancy thing. Like I think it's different when it's a first-time mom. And I think that the article kind of talked about that a little bit, that they did talk to some parents who already had kids, but some who hadn't as well. And I think, you know, I think back to when I was making the decision to start a family, and I think that's harder if you're making that decision, because it's hard to make the decision to have your first child, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're doing that in a pandemic versus, like, once you got a couple, it's like, meh.
What's one more?
Yeah, just throw another one.
I think reading this article, but also just sort of taking the temperature of my friends who are pregnant, just the state of things, I think so much of this comes down to a financial issue and a childcare issue. Mm-hmm. We all report on the news, childcare is a huge issue in this country. And honestly, the pandemic has only made it worse. Mm-hmm. You know, ratios for childcare settings have gone down because of, COVID measures and COVID restrictions. It is so hard to find good childcare. Yes. And I'm talking about like babysitters, nannies, but even just daycares, preschools. Mm-hmm. People are on wait lists, especially here in Western North Carolina, for years.
Yes.
To add to that, speaking about the wait list, we went on a wait list. I think I was like 14 or 15 months. That would be a lot. Weeks pregnant when we started and put our name on some of those first lists. And I had talked with you about it, and you were like, yeah, try to as quick as you can. But And when we went there, I was like, sorry, like, it might be a little bit crazy, but we're, you know, doing that. And she was like, no, there's already people on the list ahead of you. And yeah. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But you guys did find somebody. Or you found a facility,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. So good. That'll work out.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to a friend the other day who has one kid. And I said, she had called. And I said, oh, were you calling to tell me you're pregnant again? You know, you never know. And she was like, no. She's like, I mean, the world is dying. I don't want to bring any more children into this. Like, and it was, but it, I mean, it's. Kind yeah. of, you know, right? Like, I think that's a sentiment for a lot of people. Like, everything's up in the air. We've got this pandemic. Who knows when kids can get vaccinated? Who knows if my job is going to be around in 2 years? It is, like, there's just so much, like, question mark that, like, I don't want to bring another kid into
right.
this.
And it's definitely one of those things, if you're of the age and you have the resources, maybe you do wait. If you yeah. know that you have a couple of years of fertility, mm-hmm. You know, down the road, that you think now is just maybe mm-hmm. not the mm-hmm. time. Of course, you never, I mean, not to be pessimistic, but who knows what,
yeah,
who right. knows what the future is going to be.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say on the flip side of that, too, like, we were just, you know, there was so many, you know, we wanted to go to Italy, we wanted to do all these trips, but it's like, at some point, how much longer can you,
right.
can
right?
you wait? Because it's yeah. the pandemic has been going on for so long. So, I don't know. I think that
you just
bite the bullet. Point,
yeah. You have to yeah. dive in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is the part where we do the
Stephanie, would you like to join in?
We harmonize.
Mom's the word.
Well did you. Yeah, good job. Okay. So, this one goes out to all my mom friends because I feel like you need it in your life. Ruggable. You all know this?
Yes.
Do you have these?
I do not have one, but they look amazing.
Yes. Yes.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. They've, like, exploded. I just got three myself.
Oh.
One for Brian's office, mm-hmm. one for our little mudroom in the basement, and one for our little entryway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you rug – like, we have all hardwood floors.
Same.
So we have rugs everywhere, area rugs everywhere, and you can spend a crap ton of money
mm-hmm.
on rugs,
mm-hmm.
okay? So that being said, I feel like these are very affordable. But the key to these is that they come in two pieces. There is like a rug pad and then a rug cover. And mm-hmm. so the pad goes down. It's like a non-slip. And then you put the actual rug on top of that pad. Mm-hmm. And so the big part about this is you can wash it. Like you can put it in your washing machine, put it in your dryer, and then
love
put it back out. Yeah. So it's, you know, to be honest with you, it's less about River in our house and more about our
the
pets.
Dog.
Yeah. Yeah, we have two cats and a dog, and they are, you know, they're messy and they're dirty and paw prints. And so anyway, I've been super impressed. I've had these rugs, I don't know, a couple of months, 4-6 months. And I highly recommend them now. If you're like a rug connoisseur,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they're the fanciest rugs. I don't mm-hmm. think you're not going to look at them. You're not going to walk at them and be like, oh, this rug is so plush. No,
mm-hmm.
it's
right,
not
right.
that sort of rug. But if you have kids and you only want to spend a couple $100, highly recommend Ruggable. And I think there are some other companies that are doing these washable
yeah.
rugs as well. I should note that. So, you know, look around.
It's funny because we just bought a rug that was a little bit lighter and Gregory was like, oh gosh, like why are we getting like a
yeah.
whitish based rug? Like it's gonna be black in
right.
days, right? And we put it underneath our dining room table, which is even worse because that's where of course
yeah.
all the children drop all their food. And I was like, I don't know, should we put like a shower curtain down or
no.
something or get one of those mats? And
oh.
he was like, Karen, like what is wrong with you? And I was like, well, we gotta protect the rug. Of course, we also buy cheap rugs because I'm not a fool and I know that it's gonna like not last
right.
that long. But anyway, I need to do the Ruggable thing.
Ruggable, they have lots of different patterns and colors and
yeah.
a bunch of people I know have since purchased them and they too enjoy the Ruggable.
All right.
So all right. washable rugs, who knew? It's a great idea.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. In other news,
let's talk vaccines for kids. Pfizer mm-hmm. has recently announced that they are going to ask for approval for the COVID-19 vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11. You know, mm-hmm. it's currently approved for children 12 and up. In fact, as you're listening to this, it's entirely possible that they've
happened.
Well, or they've already submitted their data.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, I think by the end of October, it's mm-hmm. the timeline is kind of in question, but soon, they're saying it's soon. Ella Ray. Ella Ray would be eligible.
And Henry.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so jealous of you.
Yeah, I'm really excited because, you know, when I was talking to my pediatrician about this, you know, for a while, you know, we just chunked kids into like 2 through 12, right? Yeah. Because those are the ones who aren't vaccinated. And he's the one who first told me, like, oh, they think they're going to split it and do like 6 through 12 first and then the younger ones. And I was like, okay, well, I'll take one kid, you know. And then they lowered it to 5, and I was like, woohoo!
Yeah.
And I actually just talked to a doctor the other day who said, you know, with these things, like, once it gets to the FDA, like, and then the CDC, as this article talks about, it's going to be quick, hopefully. And so they're thinking, like, within the next month or two, which would be great.
Yeah, huge, because this is, like, kids who are in school, right?
Right.
Like, 5 to 11, these are kids who are in kindergarten, who, you know, River's in preschool. But, I mean, I just think if we can nip this in the bud in these, like, school-age kids, I think that's huge.
We're seeing here, especially in Western North Carolina, just the amount of quarantines and different things. And what has school been in session now? I guess we're a little over a month, maybe two months almost. Yeah. And I think that this is going to help with a lot of what we're seeing with the quarantines and all that.
So that brings me to our second article, which is this New York Times article. This is a woman who says COVID has broken parents' sense of risk. Every decision for not yet vaccinated kids feels like an unsolvable equation. And she talks about she has, I think she has 3 kids. She was feeling good in the summer because COVID rates were down. People were getting vaccinated. It seemed like there were fewer breakthrough cases. But now, of course, we've seen COVID ramp back up. And she basically has decision fatigue. She calls it she's just basically numb about all of these decisions. She says it's like all my old ways of considering risk levels are completely broken. This, I can sort of relate to this. I feel like early on, Brian and I were always like calculating the risks and like thinking about it. But after a while, you just sort of get fatigued by it. And it's like, I don't even know what to think about it anymore.
Right.
I also feel like as this pandemic rages on, what we're like 18 months, a year and a half into this, maybe even a little more, it starts to be like, you have to weigh the risks of you or your child getting COVID compared to like the risk of just missing out on life.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was probably over a year, maybe close to like a year and a quarter that none of my children went in a grocery store.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for me, like, and just scheduling and blah, blah, blah was tough. And I remember the point where I was like, you know what? This is going to last a long time. Like, I cannot, like, never run into a grocery store with, like, my oldest kid. Like, at some point, you just have to do it, right? And I remember, for some reason, that was, like, a big thing in my head. It was like, okay, I'm going to, like, take Ella Ray to the grocery store. I got to run in for, like, 2 things. Like, hold your breath. Don't get COVID. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, it's like you just get to the point where you're like, I can't just inconvenience myself so much so that, like, you know, I'm not able to get groceries or things like that, because you just get to that point where this is how we're gonna have to live.
I'm
already having those same thoughts, just bringing, you know, well, one, it's your first child, so you kind of panic about everything,
right?
Two, I'm like, you know, this is 5 to 11, and then if they do it till 2 years old, okay, that's still
2 years away.
Where I'm like, what am I gonna do? So I know, just I have those thoughts playing in my head like all the time on what is the best decision and what should we do.
Well, especially with daycare, I know that's a hard decision for a lot of folks right now, is, you know, what do I do with this kid? I've still got to work, but like, you want to make sure they're safe. It's a lot. It's hard. And, you know, even my kids sometimes now, like in the beginning, I made them wear a mask at the playground, and now I feel like if you're outside, it's okay, and we don't always wear masks, but like, we'll get to a playground and some of the kids have masks on, and my kids are like, wait, do we need to wear masks? Do we not? And it's like, every day it's just like another decision of like, what do I do? And
I know.
How safe do you want to be? And how it's really tough.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
And I feel like it's the same way with, you know, River did not go to preschool last year because of COVID, which is fine. She was 2. But this year it was like it was a long conversation between Brian and I, because, you know, she still has two more years before she starts kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like she's like an only child. Like, I feel like this girl, the risk of COVID to me at this point is actually worse than her not having any socialization. And I hope I don't come to regret that. As I say that, there, you know, sometimes you feel like, well, we've dodged the COVID bullet because we've come this far. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, that's not necessarily, I have to remind myself of that sometimes. Like, that's not necessarily, like, we could get COVID tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. So,
but also there's, and the underlying thought too in my head is, you know, for most kids, they're okay. Right. So like there is that, like, well, like you're saying, like, even if we did get COVID and the kids got COVID, like, they should be okay. Fortunately, we all have healthy kids. Like, you know, I don't know. It's tough.
So, yeah, it's worth going back and reading this New York Times article, because she does talk to some doctors and some psychologists, and they have some tips for sort of that decision fatigue and sort of how to. One of them is just to make some decisions and set some boundaries beforehand. Like, for example, like, we're going to go to the playground, and if it's crowded, we're going to wear a mask or we're not going to wear a mask. What's our decision, so that when you get there, you're not just like, that, you know, you just don't let the numb feeling take over and make a decision that's not that wise, which I thought was good.
And I think the other thing too is, like, it's helped me that I feel like Gregory and I are on the same page with a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I think that helps a lot too. When you talk about it with your spouse, have that kind of plan in place is helpful as
Right.
well. So the last article of the day is an interesting one. This is from Her View from Home, which we love. It's called "I Refuse to Be a Two-Faced Friend." So this woman talks about how she had always kind of course, wanted to be a good friend, a true friend, and then at one point realized that she had turned into a two-faced friend, which, you know, she was texting, chatting, messaging, judging other friends, you know, texting with her friends about somebody else, and realized all of a sudden, like, oh, gosh, I've turned into this person who I don't want to be. And she said one of the things that made her realize it was her husband saying, you know, if you're talking about your friends that way, like, how do you think they're talking about you, right? Kind of that realization. And another thing, which this would be hard for me to hear, her kids saying, we don't want to go play with them because we know the moms are just going to sit there and gossip the whole time.
Ugh.
Yeah. So anyway, so she talked about how she kind of realized this. And I love this quote. She said that something clicked, and she said, I shattered that two-faced mirror without a second thought, and I absolutely love my reflection again. So she made that decision, that conscious decision, not to text any of her friends about somebody else or do any of that two-faced stuff. And she felt good about it. And the other thing that really got me, one of the last lines was, and I realize I want to make sure my daughter is not going to be a two-faced friend either. So I thought it was pretty powerful. And I think, you know, it's so easy to slip into that, right? Especially when there's so much going on. You know, sometimes it's just nice to have somebody else say, yeah, that was like, can you believe she said that or whatever. It gives you kind of some comfort and to know that you're not alone in thinking that other person's crazy or whatever you're talking about. But I think it's important too to, like, that she realized that, she took a step back, she made that decision, and obviously feels better about it now.
I think social media makes this so much more possible in ways that it had, you know, 10 years ago it didn't, between Instagram and Snapchat and like even just technology, like text messages and group text messages, and some people being excluded and some people not. I mean, I'm sure this has been a problem for, you know, centuries, but boy, is it now.
A lot easier to do it now.
Yeah.
When you put it into the perspective of your kid watching and listening what you're actually doing, it's like, oh, maybe I.
But can I tell you what I thought of whenever I read that line?
Yes.
I was thinking about Karen and I were at the lake with our kids and husbands. You know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago. And finally, the dads were playing with the kids in the water. And Karen and I were, like, sitting on a raft. I'm drinking a beer. Karen's drinking one of our non-alcoholic beers. This was like a 15-minute period of time.
Like, the only time ever in our lives.
The only time. And we even, like, acknowledged that. Like, oh. Goodness, this is incredible. Karen texted me later on that night that Ella Ray was like, what did she say? Like,
she said, gosh, I really love Brian, Katie's husband. She's like, he played with me so much in the water. He threw me up in the air. It was so fun. The dads were playing so nicely with us.
So awesome.
They were so fun. And I just kept thinking, when are the moms going to stop talking over there?
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, okay, sister, like, we do everything all the time. We got, like, a little 15-minute break. We're going to, like, bring it up and, like, talk about how, like, the dads are heroes now. Like,
15 minutes. And I don't think we were gossiping, although we might have been gossiping. But it just reminded me that Ella Ray was probably, like, we were probably just, I mean, I'm going to be willing to bet we were talking about our kids, right? Because that's, like, probably what it was. But, your kids are listening and your kids are watching is the point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's just a good reminder for everybody.
Win of the week.
Win. Do you have a win, Stephanie?
Yes. I actually told Katie about it.
You're having a baby?
What? Did you have to dig deep for it?
No, yeah. I told you about it this morning. Oh, okay. So we've had the saga with the the crib mattress. Yes. So we ordered... We were waiting to order a crib mattress. We finally did because I was like, at first, I wasn't that big of a priority because I'm like, she's not going to sleep in it, whatever, like a few months. So finally bit the bullet, ordered the crib mattress through Amazon.
Out of stock.
Everything's fine. The order went through. Everything was fine. Last week, it said, and mind you, I get off of work since I work the morning show. So I'm home. And some days I work from home the second half of my day. So I'll literally be home starting at 9 a.m. And there was a message that said, attempted to deliver at 10:30 and couldn't reach anyone.
You were like, you did not attempt to deliver.
And I was like, I've been sitting at this kitchen table slaving at my computer and I didn't hear a knock. And so I was like, okay, that's fine. Like maybe it was an accident. The next day we get the message on Amazon says, could not fit in mailbox. And and I was like, I'm like texting Luke and I was like, did we order a mattress for a doll?
Yeah.
Because what is happening? Yeah. And so I was like, okay. So I finally, it got transferred to USPS. So I signed up and I was like, okay, like next, on Friday, this is the time you should deliver it. Like I knew for a fact we would both be home. He was working from home that day. Friday comes and goes, no mattress. And I'm like, for the love of all that is holy, I'm gonna lose my mind.
Give me the mattress.
And so I'm like, okay. So then yesterday, Luke is like, hey, like on my lunch break, he was working from home. He's like, I'm just gonna stop by the post office and see what's up. So he goes to the post office and is like, hey, like here's the tracking number.
Where is the mattress?
And they were like, I'll try to look it up. And then he's like, wait, what's your home address? He rattles off our home address. He's like, oh, yeah, that big box? Yeah, it's just in the backyard. I don't know why it didn't get loaded on a truck. Bottom line, that doesn't matter. We're not bashing one. All I need to tell you is about this win is that that crib mattress is in the nursery.
So is the nursery done?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much for the most part. Yay. I have to do some...
You like showed me some pictures, and it's adorable. It's adorable.
I need to wash a little bit, some more stuff, but other than that.
I mean, you are so on it for being a month out.
I feel like we're not. That stresses me out.
Karen, what do you have ready for your child?
I mean, nothing. I've, like, literally done nothing.
Yeah,
so.
But... I know.
But this is Karen. She flies by the seat of her pants. It's also her fourth kid.
Yeah, but I think that's great. And you know what? Everything else, I always tell people, like, really only, all you really, 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 really need is a car seat. Because they won't let you leave the hospital without a car seat.
Yeah.
But you other have one than of that, you have could, like...
I don't have it in the car, but we have it.
Okay.
So you're, like, basically there.
You're good.
I remember when... Sorry, quick story. I remember when we were pregnant with our first and had the car seat. And, like, you can take it to, like, the like a special place to, like, have them install it correctly, yada, yada. And they, like, made us feel like basically we were going to, like, be terrible parents. Because they were like... Look at all of these large objects in your car that could, like, hit the baby if you slammed on the brakes. Like, we had, like, some,
What'd you have in there, like a barbell or something?
Weird, like, equipment stuff from Gregory's work. I don't know. He was, like, doing home health at the time. So we had all this stuff in his car. And then they're like, and the dog, do you have, like, a way to restrain the dog if the dog is riding with the baby? And we're like, oh, my gosh. Like, I remember we got home and Gregory's like, we got to buy all this stuff. We got to clean out the car completely. buy, like, a dog seatbelt thing for the dog so that the baby like survives this trip home from the hospital and like all the other trips that we're gonna take. Anyway, it was hilarious. We like totally freaked out about it. You don't need to do that.
Well,
everything's gonna be fine.
I already like told Luke, I'm like, yeah, we have to go by the fire department. He's like, why? I was like, I don't know. Isn't that where they like do the car seat check? Like,
they are helpful. They'll put it in for you if you want them to.
See, I don't know.
Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's
they are, but I will say this: you have them do it and then learn how to do it because you will put those stupid car seats like
in every car. Yeah.
I just feel like you were put like I don't know about you, but I mean Brian is constantly moving around car seats in our life. Same. It's almost like he doesn't even think about it anymore.
Then you get really good at it, and then you're like, oh, look, I can, like, change out all the car seats in, like, 2.5 seconds.
Go you.
Yeah. We're excited for you, Stephanie, and we want to have you back on post-baby when you're a true anchor mom.
Yeah.
Rather than an anchor mom-to-be.
Give you an update on how things are going. I think it should be fine.
I think you've decided on the name, right? Not telling, but, like, you've decided, right?
Well, we have, like, two, but it's, like, leaning towards one, so... Yeah. But,
okay. Are you waiting until you see her? Yeah. Are you getting anything like monogrammed or anything?
I haven't yet. I don't want to do that, bite that bullet yet until I'm 100% sure what the name is.
Well, just wait till you meet the baby.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we did. I mean, the Social Security people had to come back like 2 days in a row.
I tell people that story after
like,
you tell me that.
I was like, nope, we don't know. Just go. We had it written on the board. The nurses were like, well, what do you think it's going to be? We were like, it's these three options. And they were like, okay, so that, you know, they like have your name up there and then like baby river, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We were talking to friends 2 weekends ago and they said that they named their baby and they were calling her that for like the entire first day. And then like it came down to actually signing it and they're like, wait, we don't like that name.
Oh.
And they were like, they had to like redo it. And they were like, so it's fine. Like you'll figure it out. I was like, okay.
Oh, we never know until we're like about to check out.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It'll be fine.
It's a permanent thing.
But that's like people ask you that so much. It's like the number one question. And I'm like, I will let you know.
Yeah.
Eventually.
When we have the baby and send out our little, yay, the baby was born at this weight. Here's the baby's name. Then you will know.
Correct.
We're excited for you. You're going to be an awesome mom and an awesome anchor mom. So,
well, thank you.
Thanks for coming on and giving us your opinion on
it. And all you listeners and viewers out there, get off our back. Steph is on the podcast.
Here she is. Okay?
Yes.
Check it out.
Oh, and she doesn't hate dogs.
Right. I stand with Steph. Hashtag I stand with Steph.
We stand with you, Stephanie.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Okay. Stephanie Sanastasi, I didn't know she was such a cheerleading aficionado.
She's
did
big.
You?
I actually kind of did know that, really? And I was kind of hoping it wouldn't come up, so I wouldn't have to admit that I'm not.
I kept trying to make eyes at you.
I know, and I was ignoring you, and then you just like outed me that
I'm
wasn't
sorry.
A big cheerleading
fan.
But we love you, Stephanie.
We still love you, even if Karen still likes you, even if you like cheerleading, it's okay. Listen, you should, if you're listening to this, you should follow us on Instagram, on Facebook.
Rate us, review us.
You should subscribe. And you should
do all the things.
You should do that for Steph, too. Go follow her on Instagram and Facebook. And,
she's really funny on social. I mean, she's really funny in real life, but she's also really funny on social media.
Yeah. Check her out. And thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Have a good one.
I can't even talk.
Okay.
Matthew, cut it before I say stumble over. Have a good one.
Anchor Moms, the podcast.
Thanks for listening.